Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we look ahead to China's 19th Party Congress, the twice-a-decade summit where top-level leadership changes and major policy priorities are decided. Today we'll ask, what's on the agenda and what are the key investment implications? We'll discuss both the market and Chinese yuan impact of what happens in Beijing in the coming week, and we'll mull the key policy priorities too. Let's start with Angus Grigg, China correspondent for the Australian Financial Review based in Shanghai. Angus looks ahead to the 19th Party Congress for us.
Well, next week's Party Congress will really formalise the economic policy which we've seen from China really over the last 2 years. I guess the main thing is that the occasion, the opening of the Party Congress on Wednesday, is really the sort of first big policy speech that Xi Jinping has made as president, where he'll be able to outline not only his sort of foreign policy objectives, but also how he sees the economy and where he wants to take China on the economy. And on this front, look, I think the main thing is that we'll have a continuation of this policy, which we've seen over the last 2 years. And that is a sort of piecemeal reform around the edges, partial privatisations of state-owned enterprises, and a gradual sort of tightening of credit control in China.
Now, we know what the event represents in broad terms, but what's on the agenda and what should investors be thinking about? There are three key strands to bear in mind, according to Thomas Deng, UBS Regional CIO for Greater China and Chief China Strategist in Hong Kong.
First is the President Xi is going to review what they have achieved over the past 5 years and also set the guidelines for next 5 years. At that, well, for overall how China is going to handle a lot of development issues, political issues, economic issues, foreign relationship issues, monetary fiscal policy issues. So I think that will give a lot of guidelines on what the overall direction will be for the next 5 years. So this on a political agenda, and last but least is the personnel changes. Up to almost 50% of the political bureau member are going to retire. So there will be new generation leader coming and who are in. I think people are going to read from these people's past record how they're going to take the country to the next level. And I think there is also, I think, focus on whether there was some new leadership born in the 60s be promoted to the standing committee to potentially to have a smooth shifting of the power.
So the Congress is more political than economic or financial in character. So for investors, maybe the policy developments are not important per se, but what the political changes and moves mean for the country's financial future are important. Tek Leng Tang, Asian currencies analyst in the UBS Wealth Management CIO.
Let's separate political incentive and economic development. And as mentioned, we attribute both economic factors and political factors for the performance of the currency year to date, because economic side, we were indeed getting positive readings as well. But also on the political side, that is the reason why they implemented some of the measures. Politics aside, on the economic side, we actually have the view that into the final quarter of this year and over the course of next year, Chinese economy will slow. And to quantify that, we will go from a GDP rate of 6.8% for this year to about 6.4% next year. So it will require some monetary policy accommodation, and that would invariably mean the currency has to weaken in order to cushion the growth headwind. So on the economic side, there is a case for us to be expecting a modest drift weaker for the currency as well.
If indeed the Congress is more political than economic in character, how do we ascertain what matters for investors? Crystal Zhao, asset allocation strategist in the UBS Wealth Management CIO office in the APAC region, explains.
The way we look at this is we actually look at the historical market reaction to the different party congresses in 2002, 2007, and 2012. And the conclusion we draw out of that past experience is that actually what determines the equity market performance in the 6 months before and also after the party congresses in the past three episodes was largely determined by where we were at the economic cycle and how the market condition, especially on the U.S. side, on the global side, how the risk for sentiment was instead of the political event itself. So that's why, from our house view's perspective, we don't really see this can be a meaningful, have a meaningful impact to the market just by the event itself.
On the currency side, next, what are Tek Leng Tang and his colleagues who focus on that area looking at and listening out for?
To be sure, we are not expecting any major announcements related to the currency from this party congress. There isn't actually something to look out for in that sense, even though there has been some market rumors, because the standing governor of the central bank did talk about pushing on with exchange rate reforms just earlier this Monday. So that got the market a bit excited about potentially they could announce a widening of the trading ban after the event itself. But we don't think so. We think that there is not going to be any major policy announcements from this Congress.
To Crystal Zhao again to give us some yuan insight from Hong Kong. Are we set for a Chinese yuan reset? Maybe first you can recap its recent performance for us, Crystal.
China actually has experienced quite large of capital outflows in 2015 and 2016. And that's why when we entered into 2017, everybody was looking for the continuous deterioration in the dollar yuan. So meaning the yuan will continue to weaken. But actually, house view has been calling for a peaking dollar at the beginning of this year, which was quite an anti-consensus call, and which has materialized very nicely, especially if you look at the euro dollar. And that's why yuan has benefited from this round of short-term consolidation or the peaking of US dollar, whatever way you want to put it. So that's why we were able to see that actually the yuan was able to stabilize or even strengthen against the dollar in the past couple of months. And I mean, apart from the stabilization on the macro data front, we also need to bear in mind that China still keep the capital control quite tight in place. That's why it's a combination of the macro development plus the administrative rules they have in place that has caused this rebound or the recent movement on the yuan. But after the party congress, our house view is still looking for the yuan to weaken against the dollar after the party congress. And that the simple reason for that is because our FX strategies, their team actually believes that the yuan will be strengthened or stabilized during the period of the party congress, because that's been the practice in the past, and that's when the central government want to show that they have the power to some extent. But then afterwards, probably that also is in line with the macro picture we're looking for as a house view. We're looking for a modest moderation for the China macro into 2018. So then that's probably give you a less sanguine picture on the dollar yuan after the party congress. But having said that, we don't really expect the yuan to weaken significantly against dollar. We're actually looking for modest depreciation against dollar after the party congress.
Taking a look at the big picture on the investment side, we have a weak US dollar, better Chinese economic data, among some other things. Could they contribute towards a resetting of Chinese yuan? What does Tek Leng Tang think?
The year-to-date performance of the Chinese yuan has been built on a few factors. As you mentioned, the dollar has been weaker and Chinese economic activity has been stronger. And in addition to that, it is also very important to recognize that a function of the stronger currency is because they have tightened capital controls very significantly. And last but not least, they made a change in their exchange rate regime in late May, and essentially giving them more control over the currency direction. So you have four factors, and most of it is actually policy driven. And by that, I'm referring to the capital control and the change in exchange rate regime. So this actually helped to stabilize sentiment ahead of the party congress.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look in more detail at the personnel questions posed and potentially answered in Beijing next week. there are always some compelling personnel issues in play at the Congress, and it's important to bear in mind, as we've heard already, that the politics are more important than the economics here. So economy-wise, is what we're going to hear this week less important than the broadly benign macro picture? And indeed, should we instead keep an eye on strong fundamentals? Crystal Zhao, maybe give us the background here.
If you look at the past experience on the party congress itself, right, it lasts for 7 days, including the first plenary. And in these very high-level meetings in this party congress, the major focus will be from the party leader to talk about what has been achieved in the past 5 years, because that's every 5 years you have this party congress. So it's more like a review of the achievement, and then probably he will give you more forward-looking comment in terms of how to build the party better, how to build a society better. So it's more from the ideological thinking or methodology perspective rather than any concrete or specific policies out of that. So I would say for investors, it might be interesting, the angle to look at it is actually how the leadership team gonna get reshuffled. Because of the age limit, then probably half of the central committee members, or what we normally call the Politburo, actually will be replaced because they've passed a certain age. So then it would be interesting to see how this new team light up. And then that probably will have a long-term impact in terms of the political structure for China. But if you want to get some sense of does that mean there will be a meaningful change on the reform agenda or anything like that, then I would say it's not our house view. We think they'll probably still keep the current agenda on the reform side intact for after the CPC as well.
Jonathan Fenby, former editor of the South China Morning Post and now chairman of China Research and director of European Political Research at T.S. Lombard, spoke to Monocle 24 this week. He covered many of these congress in his former role. Jonathan, can you set the scene for us in terms of the significance of the literal or metaphorical lineup that Crystal Zhao was just describing?
The meeting is held in the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. It's an enormous amphitheatre there. And you get the General Secretary, that's Xi Jinping, the head of the Communist Party, delivering a lengthy report. It usually has about 15 different sections to it, really designed to say how the Communist Party is essential to China and how its rule must continue forever. And now, as personified by its leader, Xi Jinping, to a greater extent than was the case with his predecessors. And then you get the only real moment of suspense, which is at the end of the Congress, when the members of the Standing Committee of the Communist Party Politburo, there are seven of them at the moment, that may be cut down this time, it's not quite sure, but they file out of the Great Hall of the People into a kind of public amphitheatre, and this is televised, and they walk out in the order in which they've been placed in the rankings in the Standing Committee. And you see, he's ahead of him, da-da-da-da. So that's the moment. It's like a beauty contest almost. You get them. And the most interesting event was at the Congress before last, when there was some uncertainty as to whether Xi Jinping would be nominated in effect as the successor to Hu Jintao, then the party leader, or whether Li Keqiang, who was Hu Jintao's own protege, would be the man. And so we all waited, and she walked out one place ahead of Li, so he's going to be the leader in 10 years' time. You know, this is long-term politics.
Jonathan Fenby there. And let's turn to where markets and some of these wider personnel questions meet. What's your take on the potential political intrigue here? Angus Grigg.
A lot of sort of Sinophiles are waiting to see who will be on the Politburo Standing Committee, how many members that committee will have. And while I think that sort of political intrigue and will tell us a lot about how powerful Xi Jinping is as the Communist Party's General Secretary, I don't think for markets it really means a great deal one way or the other. No one can really tell you whether or not one of the members is more pro-markets or less pro-markets than another sort of prospective candidate. So really, I don't think there'll be any lead for markets depending on which people get picked to sit on the Politburo Standing Committee, China's highest body. At the same time, I guess the one signal that we might get from the leadership conclave is that if Xi Jinping is able to put more of his people on the standing committee than some of the other rival factions, particularly those of the Youth League, then I guess that will be a signal to markets that Xi is indeed in control of the party, that he is more powerful than probably the two previous leaders that have come before him, and that will enable him to push ahead with some of his pet projects around the economy. And that's really a sort of focus on the One Belt, One Road project through sort of Central Asia and down into Southeast Asia. And as I've said, sort of continue with this sort of piecemeal reform of the economy. And I guess one of the areas there where Xi has been stronger than many people thought, and that's around shutting down excess capacity. So I guess that is the most politically difficult thing that he has to do. And so if he's able to put more of his people on the standing committee, then it's probably a signal that the shutting down of outdated and inefficient factories will be easier in the next 5 years than perhaps it's been in the previous 5 years.
Turning next to the policy side, and a specific question for Thomas Deng.
Xi has talked about the so-called sort of One Belt, One Road policy. Let me ask you about that, because that's been something of a flagship. Does that remain very important, do you think? And should we expect to hear more about that in the week to come? Because obviously it's a vehicle for China to expand its soft power plays. And he's sort of set a lot of store by that, hasn't he?
That will continue to be probably one of the key external foreign policy pillars in terms of, on the one hand, as you suggested, projecting their external power, but in the same time also export China's infrastructure, building manufacturing capabilities to the world who need those. That's mutually beneficiary for both China and probably those countries idly leading for those investments.
Finally on the program, a word or two from China economist Yifan Hu. Regarding potential market impact, she suggests keeping an eye on strong fundamentals instead.
We think that given currently the strong fundamentals and also for the continuous capital inflows, so we still expect that for China's capital market will continue to rise. And also impact on the bond market probably will be limited. And also, as we said, this Congress will provide a free policy framework for the coming 5 years. So detailed measures, we still have to follow up the coming economic workshop in December and also the third plenary session in next March. So that will actually give the detailed policy measures to follow up.
And that's Yifan Hu, bringing us to the end of this 158th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at the website or via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.